Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Our show today is packed with important news, starting with how the world is reacting to the terrorist attacks on a media outlet in Paris. On our Capitol Report, we'll tell you which San Diego congressional member has lost a powerful committee chairmanship. We'll also have information on efforts by congressional Republicans to weaken health care protection for workers. And you'll hear about Senator Barbara Boxer's announcement that she will not be seeking re-election. Pope Francis has issued a ruling on the fate of Iraqi Chaldean priests ordered to risk their lives and return to Iraq, including Father Noel here in El Cajon. We'll have the Pope's decision and some local reaction on today's show. On our Green Scene Report, hear about a settlement the district attorney announced with Safeway over hazardous waste violations at their supermarkets. Plus, hear why the Environmental Protection Agency has postponed rules regarding carbon emissions. Now, if you visited Parkway Plaza Shopping Mall or Disneyland recently, you just may have been exposed to measles. Get details in our health report. Plus, learn about an Ebola treatment from a San Diego company that has just received FDA approval for clinical trials. Hear the results of a state investigation into the finances of San Miguel Fire District here in East County, and why local taxpayers may be hot under the collar when they learn that they will be footing the bill. We'll tell you about a new NASA satellite to measure moisture in the soil, and we'll have a weekend weather outlook for you, too. Governor Jerry Brown has signed over 900 new bills into law, and today we'll be telling you about some of those. Chances are, you'll hear some that will impact you, your family, or your business. Then on Destination East County, we'll tell you about some fun events coming up, from concerts to outdoor activities and more. Pet owners now have a local option to buy treats that are not made in China. That's after thousands of animals fell sick and some died. Learn which local chain has taken action to protect your pets on today's show. Now we'll also have news about a cheese recall by Whole Foods, and some healthy options for fulfilling your New Year's resolutions. On Crime Beat, hear about a brazen thief stealing cars from local dealerships and how El Cajon police cracked the case. If you're looking for work, the Sheriff's Department is hiring, and we'll tell you how you can apply. Plus, if you have a new e-reader after the holidays, learn where you can get some free workshops and e-books. We'll have all these stories and more, so stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. Crowds around the world are standing up and journalists are speaking out to show solidarity with journalists slain at a French magazine in Paris on Wednesday by Islamic fundamentalists. The dead include the publication's editor, other journalists, including prominent cartoonists, and two police officers. Gunmen attacked the editorial room at Charlie Hebdo, a French satirical magazine known for its cartoons lampooning political and religious leaders. Witnesses told authorities that the attackers claimed to be with a Yemeni branch of Al-Qaeda. One assailant reportedly claimed the killings were meant to avenge the Prophet Muhammad. Recently, Charlie Hebdo had published cartoons of Muhammad, an action that enraged some Muslims who consider it blasphemy to publish any image of Muhammad. The magazine's last tweet featured a cartoon ridiculing the leader of the Islamic State, or ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. The magazine offices were firebombed back in 2011 for its earlier cartoon depiction of Muhammad, but the courageous editor, Stéphane Charbonnier, refused to be silenced, stating, "I prefer to die standing up than to live kneeling." Word spread quickly on social media. On Twitter, 4,000 tweets an hour were sent with the hashtag Je suis Charlie, or I am Charlie, after the massacre. Photos showed crowds in cities around the world standing up for the free speech rights of the murdered cartoonists. Some publications opted to publish the inflammatory cartoons from Charlie Hebdo's murdered cartoonists. Other living cartoonists published cartoons of their own to show solidarity. One depicted a plane flying toward the Twin Towers in New York, only now the towers were replaced by a pair of pencils. In the United States, the Society of Professional Journalists issued a statement on its webpage denouncing the attack as a barbaric, appalling attempt to stifle press freedom, adding, "Such outrageous attempts to silence journalists will not be tolerated or successful." SPJ urged media organizations and journalists around the world to stand in solidarity against the attack on press freedoms. The Committee to Protect Journalists reports that 61 journalists have been killed worldwide in 2014 alone, and now this in 2015. Jean-Paul Marthos, the organization's European representative, writes that Charlie Hebdo, which was so often on the edges of politics and unnerving the establishment, is today the symbol of the core values of French democracy. At the White House, President Barack Obama denounced the attack, stating, "France is America's oldest ally." The president stated he has directed his administration to provide any assistance needed to help bring these terrorists to justice. Secretary of State John Kerry stated, "Today's murders are part of a larger confrontation between civilization itself and those who are opposed to a civilized world." At the San Diego Islamic Center, Imam Taha Hassani called the terrorist attack in Paris horrible and voiced dismay at seeing people of his faith committing such crimes in the name of their faith, although he believes that holy figures should be respected, 10 News reports. The Council on American Islamic Relations has also reportedly denounced the killings. According to 10 News, the Council's Hanif Mohabi states, "We strongly condemn this brutal and cowardly attack." In Paris, a manhunt remains underway, with one of the three gunmen now in custody. But if terrorists thought that killing the French cartoonists and their editor would keep the world from seeing cartoons some deemed offensive, the strategy appears to have backfired. Cartoonists around the world are sketching their views of the calamity. The terrorists might have been wise to remember that old adage, "The pen is mightier than the sword." This is Miriam Raftery, reporting for KNSJ. Je suis Charlie. This is East County Magazine's Capital Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
This is Hayden Parsley with East County Magazine's Capital Report. San Diego Congressman Daryl Issa has been replaced by fellow Republican Chaffetz from Utah as chair of the powerful House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. Issa had used his chairmanship to launch numerous investigations of the Obama administration on issues such as Benghazi, as well as to push forward cuts in postal services and more. But Issa drew fire for his reported abuse of the watchdog role. In 2012, Citizens for Responsible Ethics in Washington, CREW, gave Issa a dishonorable mention on its annual list of most corrupt members of Congress. Issa also proved largely ineffective as chair, despite issuing triple the number of subpoenas as the prior three chairs combined. Issa's investigations yielded no tangible results, drawing criticisms that the self-proclaimed watchdog wastefully expended taxpayer dollars on investigations targeting the Obama administration on unsubstantiated claims, while failing to launch investigations against corporations charged with the same allegations. A report by the Republican-controlled House Intelligence Committee debunked the Benghazi allegations as unsubstantiated. The San Diego congressman will now chair the Intellectual Property Subcommittee instead. The new House Oversight Chair, Representative Chaffetz, has indicated his priorities will be to target the U.S. Interior Department and the Environmental Protection Agency. Chaffetz's home state, Utah, is rich in oil and gas on public lands that he is expected to seek to open up for energy development, striving to balance energy needs with protection for wild lands, water, and climate, according to an article in Energy and Environmental News.
The House of Representatives voted on Thursday to strike down a portion of the Affordable Care Act's health care mandate. The law requires that employers must provide health care for all employees working 30 hours a week or more, but the Republican-controlled House voted in essence to raise the limit to 40 hours a week, meaning employees who work between 30 and 40 hours a week would have their right to health care through their employer taken away. All Republicans voted in favor, along with two Democrats. The measure eliminates fines for employers who fail to comply with a 30-hour rule. The measure must next clear the Senate, where Republicans also now have the majority. However, President Barack Obama is likely to veto the bill if it passes. Republicans claim that under the current law, employers have an incentive to cut workers' hours to under 30 hours. But that same incentive would exist under the Republican plan, since employers could just cut full-time workers to 39 hours or less in order to avoid having to provide health care to anyone. House Minority Whip Steny Hoyer, a Democrat, stated sarcastically, "I'm sure every American worker is saying, 'Thank God the Republicans are going to have me work 10 hours more a week before I can get health insurance.'" The plan is backed by powerful business groups, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the National Restaurant Association, and the National Retail Federation. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
After 2 decades in the Senate, California Senator Barbara Boxer announced this Thursday that she will not run for re-election in 2016. At 74 years old, Boxer states that she will put effort into ensuring her seat remains with her Democratic Party. She also says she will keep fighting for the issues I love, and plans to spend her time helping people. She says that neither her age nor the Republican majority are factors in her decision, but that she wants to come home to the state that she loves. In her 22-year career in the Senate, Boxer has been committed to women's rights and environmental issues and has stuck to her liberal principles. She says that her goals have always been worth fighting for and that as long as there are issues, challenges, and strife, I will never retire. She adds that she is proud that California has believed in her all these years. Boxer posted a video on her website making the announcement with her grandson, Zach Rodham, who is also the nephew of Hillary Rodham Clinton, raising speculation that she may be promoting a future career in politics for the young Rodham. The Sacramento Bee reports that potential candidates to replace Boxer include Attorney General Kamala Harris and Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, both Democrats. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Hayden Parsley.
Coming up next, the Chaldean Corner on East County Magazine's radio show, bringing you news for and about our region's Iraqi Chaldean community. In a landmark decision, Pope Francis has ruled in favor of St. Peter's Chaldean Church in El Cajon in its battle to keep Father Noel safely here. Last October, as we reported, Father Noel and other priests were ordered by Church Patriarch Luis Sacco to return to Iraq, where Islamic State or ISIS terrorists had been systematically murdering and torturing priests. Father Noel and the other priests refused to go back to Iraq and were told they would be stripped of their priesthood. So the local Chaldean church appealed to Pope Francis at the Vatican. St. Peter's received word from the Vatican this week of the Pope's unprecedented decision to invalidate the decree. The case of Father Noel gained national attention after community leaders, including Marco Rabo, unified to keep Father Noel within the United States. In a statement issued to the media, Arabo says, "We applaud the Pope's decision with solemn hearts. Our community can once again sleep soundly knowing that our priest and spiritual leader is safe within the United States." From the onset of the ordeal, Arabo has said that the community would support the Pope's decision regardless of the outcome. Now, Arabo concludes that Pope Francis, quote, "has continued to stand as the light of reason and humanity for Christians and individuals of all denominations throughout the world. The Pope has made it clear that he will protect the sanctity of life for all Christians throughout the Middle East. This final judgment was indicative of just that." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Ed Barena with today's Green Scene Report. Safeway will pay nearly $10 million to settle charges that over 500 of its California supermarkets violated hazardous waste laws, including 64 stores in San Diego County. San Diego County's District Attorney's Office announced the settlement on Monday. The settlement resolves allegations against Safeway stores and distribution centers, including its Vons Pavilions and Pack and Save stores. The company was accused of violating state laws regarding safe handling, storage, and disposal of hazardous wastes, including medical waste, as well as customer returns of dangerous products such as used batteries, chemicals for cleaning, and pharmaceuticals. 7 of the 64 stores in San Diego County that were involved in the suit have since closed. The San Diego DA's Consumer Protection Unit worked with 41 other California district attorneys and 2 city attorneys, including San Diego's city attorney, to obtain the settlement and a permanent injunction against Safeway, which is based in Pleasanton, California. District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis states, "Safely handling hazardous waste protects our environment and is vital to the health of all Californians." The investigation into Safeway's practices began after discovery of improper shipments of hazardous and pharmaceutical waste to Safeway's distribution centers. Investigators found that Safeway was also routinely sending hazardous and pharmaceutical wastes to local landfills not equipped to receive such waste. As part of the judgment and injunction, California Safeway stores have adopted new policies and procedures designed to eliminate the improper disposal of retail hazardous waste products and pharmaceutical waste into store trash bins for eventual disposal into local landfills. In addition, the corporation must pay $9.87 million in civil penalties, costs, and supplemental environmental projects. Safeway will also provide training to store managers to assure environmental compliance and conduct annual store audits. San Diego City Attorney Jan Goldsmith concludes, quote, "Through this sort of collaborative effort by city attorneys and district attorneys throughout the state, businesses can be brought into compliance with the law and meet their responsibilities to protect our environment."
Rules designed to reduce carbon emissions from coal power plants are being delayed, with the EPA saying there may need to be clarifications related to technology, and opponents accusing the agency of buying time to stop congressional Republican leaders from scrapping the plan. Janet McCabe is the top air pollution official at the EPA, and in making the announcement, she noted that 4 million public comments have been submitted, and the health effects of cleaner air were not overlooked.
People all across the country care deeply about this issue, and we're confident that the end result will be a final clean power plan to cut harmful carbon pollution and to do so in a way that strengthens the economy and creates new jobs.
There are three parts to the plan, which cover new power plants, existing plants, and modified facilities. Coal power plants are the largest single source of carbon pollution in the U.S. The rules covering the new plants were expected to become final this week. All three are now scheduled for midsummer. Republican leaders in Congress have promised they will take action to prevent the rules from being finalized or cancel them when they become final. McCabe also announced a new piece of the package, rules that will put a state-based carbon reduction plan in place for states that don't design their own.
EPA's strong preference is that states will submit their own plans tailored to their specific needs and priorities, and we believe that states will want to do that here.
A dozen states are suing the EPA over the rules, as is the country's largest privately held coal mining company. For Public News Service, I'm Deborah Smith.
If you went to Parkway Plaza Shopping Mall in El Cajon on December 29th, you may have been exposed to measles. The County of San Diego Health and Human Services Agency warns that two San Diego siblings who visited the mall were recently diagnosed with measles. They are among seven people believed to have contracted measles while visiting Disneyland between December 15th and 20th. Locally, those most at risk are shoppers and employees who were present at the Parkway Plaza Mall on December 29th between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., especially if you were around GameStop, Sunglasses Hut, and the Carousel. There is no risk to shoppers who visited on other dates. Those who were at Parkway Plaza Mall on December 29th should watch for symptoms, and if you develop any sign of measles, contact your doctor by telephone. Measles is a highly contagious disease, spread easily by coughing, sneezing, or direct contact with an infected person. The disease takes 21 days, that's 3 weeks, to develop. Early symptoms include cough, runny nose, and red eyes. A distinctive red rash usually appears 1 to 4 days after the early symptoms, but the patient is contagious starting 4 days before the rash appears. The rash starts on the face and head, then proceeds downward and outward to the hands and feet, and it fades in the same order it began, from head to foot. The county's top health officer, Dr. Wilma Wooten, says measles is spread through the air and is very infectious to persons who are not vaccinated, including infants under age 12 months who are too young to receive the first dose. The best way to prevent measles, she says, is by getting the measles vaccine. Now, everybody born in 1957 or after should have documentation of at least one dose of MMR, that's measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends 2 doses of the vaccine, first at 12 months and the second between ages 4 and 6 years old. Complications of measles are more common in children younger than 5 years old and adults over 20. Complications can include diarrhea, ear infections, and pneumonia. Death can occur from severe complications, and the risk is higher among young children and adults. There is no treatment for measles. Bed rest, fluids, and fever control are recommended, and people with complications may need treatment for those specific problems. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
This is Ed Barreno with the Health Report from East County Magazine on KNSJ. San Diego-based Athlon Medical Incorporated announced Friday that the Food and Drug Administration has approved a clinical protocol to treat Ebola-infected individuals in the United States with Athlon's Hemopurifier blood filter. The Hemopurifier is a biofiltration device designed for the single-use removal of viruses from the circulatory system of infected individuals. Times of San Diego reports that the approved Ebola treatment protocol allows for an investigational study to be conducted at up to 10 U.S. locations, and up to 20 U.S. subjects may be enrolled to receive the treatment. Time magazine recently named the Athlon Hemopurifier as one of the 25 best inventions of 2014. Athlon previously reported that hemopurifier therapy was successfully administered to a critically ill Ebola patient at Frankfurt University Hospital in Germany. The disease is measured by what is called a viral load, and the patient's viral load prior to a 6.5-hour treatment was measured at 400,000 virus copies per milliliter of blood. A post-treatment viral load measurement was reported to be 1,000 copies. The patient was unconscious and suffering from multiple organ failure, but has since made a full recovery and returned home to his family.
The State Controller's Office has issued its final review report on the San Miguel Consolidated Fire Protection District's finances, and local taxpayers will be footing the bill for the state investigation. The report says, "Our review did not identify any significant deficiencies with the district's administrative and internal accounting controls. Nonetheless, the report indicates the state plans to charge the district for the cost of the investigation. The report indicates the state launched its investigation because it had reason to believe that the annual report of financial transactions submitted by the district is, quote, misstated, incomplete, or incorrect, unquote. Specifically, the report indicates the state launched its investigation because the district understated revenues in fiscal years 2010-11 by over $500,000 and in the 2011-2012 fiscal year by over $2 million. In addition, the state contended that expenditures were overstated by $800,000 in the first of those fiscal years and by nearly $1 million in the second, while grant revenues were overstated by more than $1.8 million in fiscal year 2011-2012. San Miguel has since formed a partnership with CAL FIRE to handle firefighting services for the district. We asked CAL FIRE Public Information Officer Kendall Bortissier for an explanation regarding those big differences in the reporting of revenues. Bortissier says the numbers used in the State Controller's Office report were unaudited numbers that did not reflect the finding of the district's independent audit completed about 6 months later. He told us, "The actual independent audit is the official reporting of the district's financial position." The district sent correspondence to the state arguing that district taxpayers should not bear the costs of the review because there was nothing in the district's report that were false, incomplete, or incorrect, nor that failed to be made in a timely manner. Moreover, the district contended that the issues could have been resolved with a phone call. But the state counters that the review was initiated because it had reason to believe the financial transaction reports were, quote, misstated, incomplete, or incorrect. The state acknowledges that preliminary amounts were later adjusted by the district in its financial records. However, the district didn't send any amended financial transaction reports to the state controller's office back then, so taxpayers will wind up picking up the bill, the state determined. Bortissier said the district has not yet received a bill from the state for the investigation, and he doesn't know yet how much that tab will be for the taxpayers. Out of 79 controls evaluated, only one was found by the state controller's investigation to be actually deficient. That was the district's failure to update its own strategic plan since 2009, despite a district policy calling for quarterly updates. The majority, 64, of the control elements were found adequate, and 14 were not applicable due to the district's size. The district tried to argue that a strategic plan update wasn't needed due to various other practices that it claimed served essentially the same purpose. Those included board workshops and budget workshops, a chief's report at board meetings, and a labor management initiative. But the state didn't accept those arguments, concluding the finding and recommendation remain as stated. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
NASA is launching a satellite microwave instrument to measure soil moisture here on Earth. A decades-long archive of planet-wide soil moisture data, when collected, should answer some questions about the relationship between food production and global warming. Scientists expect that soil moisture will be strongly correlated with atmospheric temperature. A global warming signal should therefore be detected in the long-term soil moisture record. The satellite will also measure freezing and thawing of soil. The satellite measurements are so accurate that a San Diego County soil moisture index could be extracted from the data. That index, updated online every 3 days, could be useful to local farmers and gardeners as well as to scientists. The satellite will launch on January 29th from Vandenberg Air Force Base in Southern California. In addition to live coverage on NASA TV, rocket enthusiasts will be able to view the launch in the night sky from right here in San Diego County. Reporting on East County Magazine for KNSJ, this is Hayden Parsley.
This is Leon Thompson with the East County Magazine Weather Report. As a deep freeze descended over much of the nation this week, San Diego has had a warming spell with temperatures climbing into the mid to high 70s across much of East County midweek. Cloud cover is moving in and cooler temperatures are forecast for the weekend, though with highs still in the 60s. San Diegans will be enjoying much warmer weather than much of the rest of the nation. Wind chill warnings nationwide this week are impacting 190 million Americans, with wind chills as low as 54 degrees below zero reported in Minnesota and freezing temperatures reported as far south as Amarillo, Texas. The cold weather canceled hundreds of airline flights and even forced some ski resorts to shut down due to excessive cold, with temperatures low enough to cause frostbite in minutes. So be glad you're not in the Midwest while you're out walking, hiking, surfing, or otherwise enjoying our warm weather here in sunny San Diego.
The American Association of Retired Persons is offering AARP Tax Aid, free tax preparation and online filing of tax returns for seniors, low-income residents, and others in need in the East County community. Tax sites will be open the week of February 2nd and continue until April 15th. The East County locations are the El Cajon Library, College Avenue Senior Center, La Mesa Adult Enrichment Center, and Edgemore Hospital in Santee. To make an appointment or get more information, you can visit aarp.org and click on the tax aid link at the bottom of the page. This is Miriam Raftery, reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ. This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
This is Eber Renna here with Miriam Raftery with some information about new laws that may affect you on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ. Governor Brown has signed 930 bills into law covering a broad spectrum of issues. These range from laws to protect consumer rights and privacy to laws that affect gun owners, immigrants, senior care facilities, renters and condo owners, students, prisoners, dog owners, parents, workers, and business owners, and pretty much everyone else too. So we've broken these new laws down by category. Miriam, why don't you tell us about some new laws regarding consumer rights?
Well, the big one, Ed, is one that protects people who go online and post reviews and opinions on sites like Yelp. This came about because companies had been putting something called a non-disparagement clause into purchase contracts, hidden in the fine print, and even in coupons. People had no idea that this was there. And then if you went online and posted something they didn't like, they would sue you for violating this non-disparagement clause. So the good news is California has passed a law now that declares non-disparagement clauses unenforceable. So you can go online now and gripe on sites like Yelp without worrying that a company can cite a non-disparagement clause as a ground to sue you.
Yeah, that sounds like an important defense of freedom of speech right there.
It does. Now, Ed, can you tell us a little bit about some of the crime laws that have passed?
Yes, there are many new laws regarding criminal offense. One of the ones that might be most comforting to people in East County is a new law regarding sex offenders. A paroled sex offender will go back to jail now for 180 days if the offender fails to report for getting a GPS monitoring device or tampers with the device to make it inoperable.
That's important. We did have one sex offender who'd been paroled in East County and went out and molested an elderly woman, so at least now they can go back to jail if they're tampering with that device.
We've also got some laws regarding juveniles. Juvenile offenders who complete all court requirements will automatically have their records sealed. There's also laws regarding DNA. Prisoners who want a DNA test now only need to show that testing is relevant to their case. They're not required to prove that it would exonerate them.
Interesting, because actually quite a few prisoners around the country have been freed because of DNA testing, but yet it's still difficult in the courts to get that approved.
Yeah, that's been an ongoing development in the judicial system. And now with truancy, kids can't be thrown into juvenile detention solely for being truant from school. And also, courts can now set up a diversion program for veterans or active duty military personnel who commit misdemeanors and suffer from service-related trauma or drug abuse. Okay, so I think there's some new laws regarding education. Why don't you tell us about that, Miriam?
There are. One of them is requiring all public schools to keep an epinephrine injector on hand and train teachers or other personnel how to use those shots so that a student who's suffering a severe allergic reaction can get treatment right away. This could be a life-saving law. And then school lunches. We've been interviewing folks recently here with our Farm to Fork program in San Diego, Farm to School program. Now the entire state of California is launching a Farm to Fork office to help make agricultural products available to schools and also to underserved communities, like some of those out here in East County that don't have farmers markets and so forth. Also, there is some limits now on what schools can do with your child's social media posts. School districts are not allowed anymore to collect information on students from social media sites, except if it involves the safety of the students or school safety. And also, parents will be allowed to review and correct any information that's collected on their child. There's also a bill that would impact pregnant students at the college level. Public universities and colleges in California cannot force graduate students to take maternity leave if they're pregnant. And if a student does decide to take time off for pregnancy, she must be allowed to return in good standing. And finally, there is the Yes Means Yes law. We've heard a lot in the news lately about sexual assaults on campus. Well, now public universities and colleges in California have to educate students, such as at orientation, so they understand that sexual relation requires consent. And students, that means if one party is silent or doesn't resist, even if they're drunk or passed out, having sex can be prosecuted as rape.
Yes, that's very important for young people to understand. They don't want to get into major, major life-affecting problems.
Right.
There's another law here about elder care violations. A residential care facility that has been cited for violations that risk health and safety of residents can be blocked by the state from admitting new patients. In addition, elder care facilities must remedy license deficiencies within 10 days of notification. And another new law requires that a carbon monoxide detector be installed in every community care facility.
I think most folks would think that's good news as well. We've certainly had a lot of scandals right here in San Diego County about some shocking revelations about elder care facilities where people were abused. There was a case where a guy was left for dead for a day or so before anyone even found him on the floor. So Now, if something like that happens, they can just say that facility can't admit anybody else. They won't get more patients. Now, there's also some news about elections. If you mail your ballot on election day from now on and it arrives within 3 days after you mail it, it must be counted. Previously, ballots had to arrive at the registrar of voters by election day. So that's good news for somebody who maybe is sick or has to work and can't get to the polls, but it does mean that in close races, we might be waiting a little bit longer to find out who won. Ed, I understand you've got some information for employees and employers also.
Yes, employers must now offer sick time for workers, including full-time, part-time, seasonal, and migrant workers. Workers will earn 1 hour of sick pay for every 30 hours worked, up to certain limits. This law takes effect July 1st and is also intended to protect public health by allowing workers to stay home when ill, especially in fast food and other food handling businesses.
Now, on the environmental front, the big news is the plastic bag ban. There's a new law that aims to protect oceans and wildlife by banning plastic grocery bags. And that's supposed to take effect July 1st, but the plastic industry is trying to put a measure on the ballot that could overturn the ban. Another big bill deals with fracking. Oil and gas companies now have to report how much water they use in drilling operations that use hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. And Ed, I understand you've got some news for us about some new gun laws next.
So there's going to be some new gun restrictions for dangerous individuals. These laws resulted from the massacre in Isla Vista, where 6 UC Santa Barbara students were killed and 13 others were wounded. Police had been called by family to check on the shooter, but did not know he had guns. A new law allows police or family members to seek a restraining order that bars a person deemed dangerous from owning firearms for 21 days. Another new law will require law enforcement agencies to encourage officers to check a state database of gun ownership before checking on a potentially dangerous person.
Well, thanks for that information. Now, if you're a homeowner or a renter, there are some laws that may affect you. Homeowner associations can no longer penalize a resident who rips out their lawn and plants drought-tolerant landscaping instead. And if you want to grow your own fruits and vegetables in portable containers at your apartment or condominium, that's now legal and your landlord cannot prohibit your container gardening.
And as far as immigration goes, I had to deal with some long lines at the DMV the other day, just by coincidence, but undocumented immigrants can now apply for driver's licenses under AB 60. That impacts about 1.3 million people. The goal is to assure that anyone driving in the state knows the rules of the road and has insurance, which should improve public safety tremendously. And also, there's some new laws regarding student loans for undocumented immigrants. They can apply for student loans at the UC and California State University systems.
Okay. There's also a bill affecting people who buy things over the internet. Electronic currency, including Bitcoin, is now legal tender in California. And Ed, you've got some big news for us, I understand, on privacy rights as well.
Yes, it's a big concern these days with the constant influx of technology. Aerial drone owners can be prosecuted for invading your privacy if they photograph or record you in a private setting. Also, it will now be illegal for state agencies to cooperate with the federal government in the mass collection of phone and computer records unless a warrant is issued by a court. And there's another one regarding explicit images, which have been in the news quite a bit with celebrity scandals.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot post sexually explicit photos online without permission of the person photographed, including selfies. The law aims to crack down on revenge porn, and victims can actually seek damages and ask a court to order the images removed.
Okay. If you are a dog owner, the big news is you can now take your dog to a restaurant's outdoor patio on a leash unless the restaurant objects. The patio has to have a separate entrance, and dogs must be well-behaved. And sorry, folks, you can't put Fido on the table or chairs.
All right, and of course, we got to address corruption on a yearly basis here. So now politicians convicted of taking bribes will have fines doubled and can't use campaign funds to pay fines. The statute of limitations for prosecuting public bribery has also been extended.
And that's after there were some bribery accusations there in our very own state legislature this past year. On the technology front, smartphones from now on will include kill switches, and you can activate that if your phone is stolen.
Interesting.
Yeah, I won't have your phone bill run up.
Finally, we've got a new law regarding groundwater pumping. Local water agencies cannot siphon off groundwater supplies, as some have done during the drought. Now agencies must account for groundwater pumping, and the state can step in and do the job if local agencies are not willing or unable.
Well, that's important news here in East County, especially where you've had incidences of some of these small rural water districts, one in particular that was caught illegally selling water to developers and so forth. It got so bad the state actually shut them down for falsifying health reports and other things. But this gives the state one more tool to protect the groundwater, which is the lifeblood in communities like those here in East County.
All right, so that about wraps it up for new laws. Be safe out there and make sure you're not breaking the law.
Well, there you go. And if you want the full list, you can go to the governor's website. Just Google Governor Jerry Brown, and you'll find the full list of all 930 bills that were signed into law for this year.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is Miriam Raftery with some important news for pet owners. San Diego-based Petco, the nation's largest pet product retailer, announced this week that it has removed all dog treats and cat treats made in China from its store shelves nationwide as well as off its website. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has been investigating over 5,600 complaints of illnesses and deaths of pets that ate the Chinese-made jerky and rawhide treats, including chicken, duck, and sweet potato varieties. Nearly all of the illnesses occurred in dogs, though a handful have been reported in cats and even humans who consumed or handled contaminated products. Pets that ate these products suffered symptoms ranging from vomiting and internal bleeding to kidney failure. There have been numerous warnings issued on multiple brands linked to illnesses from Chinese products, yet the problem has persisted, and the FDA has been unable to determine the specific cause. Petco announced last May that it planned to remove the treats, but took months to complete a change of vendors for all of its 1,300 stores as well as its online sales. Petco's main rival, PetSmart, has announced that it will also stop carrying Chinese-made treats, but has not yet set a specific date for removal of all Chinese products.
This is Leon Thompson with a health report from East County Magazine. The United States Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has announced that Whole Foods Markets is voluntarily recalling Bleeding Heart brand cheeses sold in California, Arizona, and Hawaii. The recall is due to possible contamination with Listeria monocytogenes, an organism that can cause serious and sometimes fatal infections in young children, the elderly, and others with weak immune systems. It can also cause miscarriages and stillbirths in pregnant women, as well as illness in healthy individuals such as high fever, severe headaches, stiffness, nausea, abdominal pain, and diarrhea. If you purchase these products, you can return them to Whole Foods for a refund. The recall includes cut, wrapped, and weighted sheep and cow cheeses by Bleeding Heart. For details, visit fda.gov/safety-recalls.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. El Cajon police have arrested a woman suspected of fraudulently buying at least 7 vehicles at dealerships in El Cajon and San Diego. According to Lieutenant Frank LaHaye, Moto World of El Cajon filed a police report in December after a suspect later identified as 22-year-old Amanda Uribe purchased a Polaris RZR for $30,000 using a check from a closed account. This week, Mercedes-Benz of El Cajon notified police that a suspicious person had tried to use a fraudulent account to pay for repair of a Mercedes Sprinter van. The suspect was identified as Uribe, who was then arrested. The investigation found that she had bought the Mercedes van as well as an Audi A4 from eCars, Inc. of San Diego, using the same bogus account she previously used at the Mercedes dealership in El Cajon. Detectives continued their investigation and found that Uribe had also purchased a Lexus from Kia of El Cajon and a BMW at El Cajon's BMW dealership. 2 additional cars were purchased from Mossy Volkswagen of El Cajon. Lieutenant LaHaye says currently all the vehicles in the case have been recovered, with a total estimated value of over $188,000. Uribe has been booked into county jail on charges of identity theft, burglary, and grand theft. The investigation continues, with the possibility of additional criminal charges being filed. Anyone with information regarding this investigation may still contact the El Cajon Police Department at area code 619-579-3311.
This is a public service announcement for the La Mesa Spring Valley School District. The district is accepting applications now through January 12th to fill a school board vacancy left by former trustee Bill Baber. Baber won election to La Mesa City Council. Applications for this seat should be turned in to the district at 4750 Date Avenue in La Mesa by January 12th. To qualify, applicants must be at least 18 years old, live within the boundaries of the La Mesa Spring Valley School District, be a U.S. citizen, and a registered voter. Applications are available at the district office or online at lmsvsd.org. The board's 4 remaining trustees will review applications on January 20th and narrow the selection to 8 candidates or fewer. Finalists will be interviewed at a special board meeting on January 27th at 4 p.m. when a selection will be made.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County has events ranging from riding the rails at the Campo Railway Depot to dropping a line at the Santee Lakes Trout Reopener.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including the Martin Luther King Jr. Choir concert in Lemon Grove, candle-making classes in Alpine, and a blast from the past when Herman's Hermits take stage at Sequan.
So stay tuned for all these events and much, much more from East County Magazine. You can ride the rails aboard an old-time train and enjoy a scenic one-hour journey through the mountains of East County each Saturday and Sunday from January through June. Trains depart from the Campo Railway Depot at 11 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., so you can visit the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum and Living History Center. For details and ticket information, visit the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum website at prsm.org.
If you love to fish, you may want to mark your calendars for the trout reopener at Santee Lakes on January 10th and 11th, when the lakes will be stocked with 2,000 pounds of rainbow trout. Prizes will be awarded for the five biggest fish caught. There will also be a breakfast sponsored by the Lions Club, and prizes included fishing poles, tackle boxes, bicycles, camping gear, and fishing passes. For those lucky fishing folks who catch a 5-pound trout or larger, you will also be entered to the grand prize drawing for a flat-screen TV. For details, call SanteeLakes.com.
Now for a preview of coming attractions. The Alpine Mountain Empire Chamber of Commerce will hold its Hot Topics Business Breakfast on January 13th at 7:15 a.m. The breakfast takes place at the Alpine Library.
The legendary British rock band Herman's Hermits and its original lead singer Peter Noon will be performing two concerts on January 17th at Sequan's Live and Up Close Theater in El Cajon. Showtimes at 6:30 and 8 p.m. Noon's classic hits include I'm Into Something Good, Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter, I'm Henry VIII, I Am, and Can't You Hear My Heartbeat? Herman's Hermits sold over 60 million recordings, including 14 single hits and 7 albums that went gold. For concert tickets and details, visit sequan.com.
A Martin Luther King Jr. birthday concert will be held on Saturday, January 17th at 5 p.m. on Lemon Grove's Main Street Promenade, located at 3443 Main Street in Lemon Grove. The concert is a special feature of the Lemon Grove Live Concert Series and will feature the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Choir of San Diego Ensemble members. Admission is free.
Nature and landscape photographer Ernie and Katie Cowan will lead a Cactus and Canyons photo tour to explore some of the most scenic and secret places of Anza Borrego Desert State Park on Saturday, January 17th. This all-day hike runs from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. The tour is designed for photographers to enhance your technique and transform landscape photography into works of art, not just snapshots. You'll visit narrow and winding slot canyons to learn proper exposure, lens selection, and composition in the morning, then visit other locations in the afternoon with a lunch stop at the local restaurant in Borrego Springs. The tour is open to all skill levels. For more information and tickets, visit theabf.org.
Mission Trails Regional Park offers free concerts in the Visitor Center Theater on Sundays at 3 p.m. The next performance will be by the Santee Community Chorus on January 18th.
A candle-making class for teens and tweens will be held at the Alpine Library on January 22nd at 3:30 p.m. The next day, January 23rd at 3:30 p.m., a candle-making class for adults will also be offered to help you light up your life.
Felix Cavalier's Rascals are coming to the Poway Center for the Performing Arts Foundation on Saturday, January 24th at 8 p.m. Felix Cavalier is best known as the keyboardist and lead singer of the 1960s Young Rascals, king of the blue-eyed soul and later pop and jazz fusion. The group later became the Rascals. Hits included Groovin', Good Lovin', A Beautiful Morning, and more. For tickets and details, you can visit powayarts.org.
A 90-year-old pipe organ has been restored at La Mesa's Central Congregational Church at 8360 Lemon Avenue, La Mesa, which will host a concert to celebrate completion of the restoration on Sunday, January 25th at 3 p.m. The concert will feature classical and sacred works by Bach, Mendelssohn, Franck, and Widor, performed by Robert Plimpton, resident organist at First United Methodist Church in San Diego. Plimpton has also performed weekly concert at Spreckles Pipe Organ in Balboa Park and has played with local orchestras as well as teaching at San Diego State University.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org. If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, attractions in San Diego's East County. Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
With the arrival of a new year, people make ambitious resolutions, and many of them, including my own, seem to focus on getting fit, losing weight, or just living a more active lifestyle. According to the website Statistic Brain, losing weight was the number one resolution made on January 1st last year. 62% of Americans make a resolution at least occasionally, but according to Forbes, only 8% of people achieve their New Year's resolutions. If you want to improve your odds of success, the County of San Diego has hundreds of activities throughout the year at a variety of skill and interest levels. Many of them are free or low cost, and they take place in locations all over the county. The San Diego County Library has over 350 health and fitness events in January alone. The library has an online calendar of events that list all of them, searchable by location, date, and age group. Yoga, dance classes, Zumba, nutrition and cooking classes, meditation, and martial arts are just a few of the types of offerings at the library. All library events are completely free. San Diego County Parks and Recreation Department also has a wide range of activities for all ages. Hiking, sports leagues, equestrian opportunities, dance classes, yoga, and fitness boot camps are all offered at various county parks or community centers. The online parks activity guides list all the locations, times, and costs, if any, for all events. One of the most popular activities in the parks is hiking. There are miles of hiking, biking, or equestrian trails on the county's 30 parks and open space preserves. There are simple strolls along quiet streams for a leisurely hike, while experienced hikers looking for a challenge can hike rugged mountains and isolated valleys. San Diego County has one of the most diverse trail systems in the nation. Most of our trails are multi-use and have been designed to accommodate hikers, bikers, and horse riders. For more information, you can visit the parks website at sandiegocounty.gov/parks. This has been Ed Barena with a public service announcement from the County of San Diego.
The San Diego Sheriff's Office is now hiring. Recruitment for sworn positions will open for 10 days in January. It means you can apply online for the position and register to take the written exam. Open recruitment begins on Friday, January 2nd through Monday, January 12th. Just go to www.joinsdsheriff.net if you'd like to apply. For questions about the application process, you can call 858-974-2000. The Sheriff's Department also has job opportunities for professional staff. Detention facilities are looking for nurses. For questions about the application process or qualifications, you can call 858-974-2687. Open recruitment for nurses closes January 13th. In addition, there are jobs available for emergency dispatchers or 911 operators. Applicants for all of these positions will be required to complete a comprehensive background investigation. This has been a public service announcement for the County of San Diego.
If you were lucky enough to have a tablet or ebook reader waiting for you in a gift box this season, the San Diego County Library is ready to help you use your new gift. From a large catalog of titles available for download to tutorials on how to use your e-reader to hands-on workshops to help you get started, there's something for everyone. Everything you need to get reading ebooks is on one convenient page in the San Diego County Library's website. It's easy to browse the collection and select ebooks you want. Just visit sdcl.org/ebooks or check East County Magazine's bookshelf section, where we have a link to the county site at eastcountymagazine.org. Thousands of ebooks are available for download. From Gillian Flynn's Gone Girl to Hunger Games Trilogy, there are guides to photography and plumbing, cookbooks, how-to guides, and even Twitter for Dummies. Just like any library book, they're all free of charge and accessible to anyone with a county library card. An added bonus, ebooks are automatically returned to the library, so there are no late fees. The library provides online instructions for Apple devices, Kindle and Kindle Fire, Nook, Sony Reader, Android, Windows 8 devices, and MP3 players, including video tutorials for many of them. If you're looking for more personal instruction, the library also regularly holds ebook workshops at 8 of its branches. For more information, visit sandiegocountylibrary.org. That's sdcl.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.